Now, we have a very long psalm tonight, 52 verses, and yet I don't like to leave any of them out. Psalm 89. We're getting towards the end of the long list of messianic psalms. We've only three more left after this, and this is a really wonderful psalm. Follows on so well after the last one. We had 72nd psalm about the wonderful reign of the Lord Jesus. Psalm 89, we call this the covenant psalm, the messianic covenant psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. You notice the word covenant coming here in this psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Just what the Lord Jesus did as the Messiah when he came here. Verse 10, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Here is referring to Egypt. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon, that's east and west, I believe, shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with them, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set my hand also in the sea, and his right hand, I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. This is truly written about the Lord Jesus. I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah. And this is where the psalm divides. Psalm verse 37, there you get the glories of this covenant that David and his seed should reign. But at verse 38, we know things have not gone just as we have been reading. They will one day. And so the psalmist is thinking of what really has happened in the earth. Here's Israel scattered all over the world. Now let's see what he says now. Verse 38, but thou hast cast us off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void thy covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord for ever and ever. Amen and amen. That, of course, is the end of the book three of the Psalms. All the books, the five books of Psalms, end with the words Amen and Amen. Blessed God, we bow before thee now. We thank thee for these wonderful words. What wonderful poetry. What wonderful rhetoric. What wonderful words. We thank thee thou hast taken these Hebrew words, poetic words, and had them translated into our language so that we can read them tonight. We thank thee for this wonderful psalm, for the glories. We thank thee that thou art exalted here, and we see thee made higher than the highest, higher than the kings of the earth. We bow at thy feet, Lord Jesus, and ask thee that as we read this psalm, thou wilt reveal to our hearts some of thy plans and some of thy ways, and some of God's purposes for thee, the one who is higher than the kings of the earth. We seek thy blessing in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, I call this the covenant psalm. It's to do with what we call the Davidic covenant. Some of you will remember when Mr. Harold McKay was here. On one occasion, he'd been here so many times, he usually brings some very interesting study, but on one occasion he spoke on the covenants. There are eight covenants in the scripture. I remember those interesting talks he gave us. We still have them on tapes. The eight covenants, and he listed them. I'll just read them out for a moment. One, the Edenic covenant. That's the covenant that God made with Adam in the garden before he sinned, when he said, "Be fruitful and multiply," and so on. That's in Genesis chapter 1. Then he made the Adamic covenant. That was in Genesis 3 verse 15, where he said about his seed. You remember, thou shalt bruise his heel, and so on. The seed of the woman, the covenant he made with Adam in those days, that one day he would send his son here. Then we get the Noahic covenant. God made that covenant with Noah. When he came out of the ark, he made a covenant with him, and he promised he would never again drown the earth. Never again would he destroy the earth with water. And he put his rainbow in the sky, and he says, "Now here's my covenant. I put my rainbow in the sky to prove that that covenant is mine." There it is today. Well, if the sun shines and it's raining, you see that covenant in the sky after all these many, many years. Then the next covenant in Scripture was the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 15, where we mentioned it this morning. We mentioned it last time I was speaking here, that he promised to Abraham. Let me just read. I love the words. I read it last time I was speaking here in the evening. Genesis 15. And he said in verse 18, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites." Abraham, or the seed of Abraham, was going to conquer all these nations, and he gave him that land. They've never yet possessed it. Yes, during the reign of Solomon, there was a wonderful reign. God blessed Solomon, but they did not possess what God gave them. From the river of Egypt, the river Nile, right away to the river Euphrates, that's theirs, and they're going to get it, despite of the what's going on in the world today, despite of what Russia thinks should happen, or United States thinks should happen, or what the United Nations think. Despite of all that, God has given this to Israel, to Abraham, and they're going to get it. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Then we have the Mosaic covenant. That's Exodus 19, where God gave to Moses the law. And made a covenant with them that they keep that law, they should live in it. Of course, nobody ever kept it. But that was the covenant he made with Moses. And then we get the Palestinian covenant. That's it. Deuteronomy 30. In Deuteronomy 29, God tells what will happen to Israel if they disobey him. What will happen to Israel if they go whoring, as he says, after other gods and worshiping other gods. If they go to idolatry, he says what will happen to them. And they'll be scattered all over the world. But then he says, "I'll bring you back again." And that's the Mosaic, that is the Palestinian covenant, to bring them back to Palestine ultimately. Now the next one we got is the Davidic covenant. That's the one we're talking about tonight. The Davidic covenant, I want to read it to you. 2 Samuel 7, 2 Samuel and chapter 7. It explains itself, but I'll just read a few verses. Verse 1. "And it came to pass when the king, King David, when he made himself a beautiful house upon Mount Zion," how he longed to capture Mount Zion. And he did, of course. Joab, he made him commander-in-chief when he captured Zion, when he climbed the gutter, as we say. He dived down into the what's known as the Virgin's Fountain, and he found the secret underwater entrance into the stairway that went up to Mount Zion. They used to say, the blind and the halt, they can keep David out of Mount Zion, because there was a secret way that nobody knew, but Joab found it out. Now, I have seen that entrance. I've been through Hezekiah's tunnel, which he cut through from the Virgin's Fountain to Pool of Siloam. And you go through there, we've been through carrying a candle in the dark with the water up to our waist, and you come to a spot near the, when you're getting near the Virgin's Fountain, that real deep pool there, when you're getting near there, you come to a spot, and on your left side, there's an iron gate fastened in the wall. You can't open it there today. But it led to a stairway, and you could see the stairway going up a tunnel up through, and I've seen it, we've been through. And that tunnel was the stairway. Joab dived down through the great pond, the great pool, and found that stairway with his men, and he climbed up that gutter, and he got into the fortress of Zion and captured Zion and defeated the Jebusites who were there in Zion after all those years after they had conquered Palestine, or the land of the Canaanites. They were still there, and David made Joab the commander-in-chief because of what he did. And David loved Zion, and he built his house there, and Solomon built his temple there. And what a lovely house David built. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night, that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, see, Nathan and David, they were going, you know, they wanted to do their thing. David wanted, his thing was to build a house for God, but he didn't wait for God's command to do it. And Nathan, and God spoke to Nathan, he said, you're going too fast. Now listen to what he said. It came to pass that night, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle, in all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel. Spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, and from following the sheep, to make thee ruler over my people Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. And I made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, as the Lord telleth thee, that he will make thee an house, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now this was the seed of David. I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name. Of course, that was Solomon. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's Christ. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house, now here's the covenant, thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words, and according to all this vision. So did Nathan speak unto David. David was not allowed to build the house for God. Solomon built it. But when God spoke to him, he was looking beyond that earthly house. He was looking on, not only to David, but to David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he established this covenant, what we call the Davidic covenant. And that's what this psalm is all about. Now there's one more covenant. I'll read it to you. It's Hebrews chapter 8, the 8th covenant. And 8's the number of resurrection, you know. Everything complete at 7, but 8's a new life. That's the number of resurrection. The first day of the week, the 8th day. Hebrews 8. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So, finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Now this is the new covenant, the final, the 8th covenant, the new covenant. And I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind. You see, the Mosaic covenant gave them the law. They couldn't keep it. But the new covenant, God will put his law in their mind and they will keep it. This is the new covenant. This is the covenant, verse 10, that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach everyone, every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. That is the new covenant. This is the millennial blessing. They won't have to preach the gospel then and say, Know the Lord, because everybody will know the Lord in the millennium. But tonight we're talking about the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant says that God would establish the seed of David, someone to reign forever over the house of Israel. And he's referred to in that wonderful verse 27 of our Psalm 89, Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Now the writer of this psalm, he goes right up into the heavens. He talks about the wonders of God and his creation and the faithfulness of God. It's interesting to note, I said that the word covenant comes there. The word covenant is in verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. It's in verse 28. My mercy will I keep from him, for him, for my mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. And verse 39 says, thou hast made void the covenant. That's what Israel did. They made void the covenant in their sin and their wickedness and departure from God. And then there are other words that come in this psalm, wonderful words. The word faithfulness. This psalm is all about the faithfulness of God. He said it. It must come to pass. Despite all the raging and roaring and noise that men are making today, despite all their ideals and thoughts and ways, God's word is going to come to pass. What God says will come to pass. He is going to set his son to reign over the house of Israel. There's no question about it. Despite all the rulers, despite the Arab nations and all they have to say about Israel, God has established the word and it will take place. Now, look at the word. God is faithful. Verse 1. At the end of the verse it says, I make known thy faithfulness, to make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Verse 2. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Verse 5. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Verse 14. It says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne, and mercy and truth shall go before thee. He's speaking of the faithfulness, the mercy of God. Verse 24, he says, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verse 28, my mercy will I keep. By mercy he means his faithfulness there. Verse 33, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Verse 37, it shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. And verse 49, Lord, where are thy former loving kindness, which thou swearest unto David? He's talking about the faithfulness of God, which, as far as they could see, had failed. We come to that presently. Verse 34, he says, I will not lie. Verse 35, he says, verse 34, I will not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. Verse 35, I will not lie unto David. Verse 3, I have sworn unto David my servant. Verse 35, he says, once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. And verse 49, Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest unto David? So we get these words, the faithfulness of God, the fact that God says, I will not lie, and that God himself swore that he would fulfill this covenant. Now, this is our theme this evening, God's faithfulness regarding the Davidic covenant. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. The writer of this song, and Maskil means instruction, a psalm of instruction by Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Here's a man that was in touch with God. Here's a man, that read of God's covenant and read of God's plans and believed God, and he says, I'll make known thy faithfulness to all generations. What are we doing today? What did they have in their Psalms were not written yet. They were writing them. They had the writings of Moses. That's about all they had. And some of the history of Kings and Samuel and so on. But what did they have? They didn't know what we know. We've got the wonderful New Testament. all the fulfillment of the messianic promises made for us in the New Testament, surely our mouths should be full of the faithfulness of the Lord. We should be going about day by day singing and telling of the faithfulness of God. He says, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations, for I have said, God has said this, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto David my servant. It didn't look very much like this after Solomon died and the kingdom was torn in twain, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And when Solomon went into sin and wickedness, went away from God, and all those kings that rose after them, you know the sad story, went on year after year and century after century until God says, I can stand it no more, and he let them all go into Babylonish captivity. Where was the faithfulness of God in those days? They must have wondered what, if God really meant what he said. But this man says, God says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I've sworn unto David, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. How we should rejoice that we have something far greater than this. God has given us eternal life. God has taken us into his family. God has a new thing in the world today, the church, and you or I are in the church. Israel is an earthly people. True, God's mercies to Israel will be fulfilled, and there will be an earthly kingdom, and the David's son, the Lord Jesus himself, will reign over them. But how much better is our portion? We are a heavenly people. We don't belong to earth, we belong to heaven. And just as God dwells up in the heavens, so we should dwell in the heavens and rejoice in the Lord. And our future is far better and brighter. We're going to dwell in the eternal heavens with the eternal Son of God and sing his praises. He says, of them I will establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. That's where we come in. O Lord, thy faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. I believe through all eternity we're going to praise God as we see his faithfulness. And we look back over time and space and we think of what he's done and how true God has been to his word. There hath not failed one word of all thy promises. And we're going to prove it by and by. How many of us have proved it already? As we reach the end part of life that you and I are reaching now, and we look back over the years, how we can praise the Lord, how faithful he's been, how wonderful he's been, the promises he made us when we were children and we trusted him, they've all come true. How wonderful is God. And this man is rejoicing in the faithfulness of God. Who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is likened to the Lord? God is great to be feared in the assembly of his saints. I love this verse. I think that's the kind of verse we should have written up here, you know. God is great. I've seen it in some chapels. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. I don't think you can come and gather together with the saints of God in a slovenly, untidy, slothful way. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. They asked me when I was in England, they said, you live in a very hot climate. I suppose you all go to the meetings with your coats off, no neckties, and well, I said, we believe in respecting the house of God. This is not the house of God, I know. But I said, the Lord is there. And I said, we wouldn't go into the presence of the queen or the king in a slovenly way, we will be allowed to. Do you know what I personally believe? This is a personal thing, you may laugh at me. But I don't believe I would sit in the presence of an earthly monarch with my knees crossed. And I never sit at the Lord's table with my knees crossed. Never have. Not from the time God revealed that to me when I was about 14 years of age. I won't do it. Because we're in the presence of the King. We're in the presence of the King. And God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Let's remember it when we meet. We're meeting in the Savior's name, and where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Thank God. That's why God has told us that our sisters should have their heads covered. Doesn't say they got to wear hats with roses and flowers and all this stuff in them. That's not what it means at all. It says the head should be covered because it shows a sign of subjection. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints. And we have to put into practice the things that are written in this book. These things are going out today. I see it wherever I go. I saw it so much in England this time. The things we cherished, the things we thought so much of, they seem to be going out to the... I don't know. It kind of hurts me. But it says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea when the waves thereof rise, thou stillest them. And God can do that and does do that in the world today. The waves, the unrest, the nations of the world are looked upon as the troubled sea, and God can stay it and hold it back, and he is holding it back until the time of judgment comes. He talks about the north and the south and the east and the west. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. When the Lord Jesus reigns, we were looking at this in Psalm 72 last time I was speaking 2 weeks ago on the Messianic Psalms. When the Lord Jesus rules, there be equity and judgment and righteousness throughout the whole world. You won't want law courts in those days. You won't want policemen in those days. Unnecessary. God's going to write his laws in men's hearts, and justice and judgment and equity, and the Lord Jesus is going to rule in righteousness. But don't forget, he'll rule with a rod of iron. He'll be a dictator. That's the only way to rule the world, by dictators. Trouble is, you can't get a good dictator. They all lose their heads and ruin everything. But the Lord Jesus won't be a dictator. He'll be an autocrat. He'll be a theocrat. He'll be the God ruler of the world, the Lord Jesus. Well, our time won't let us go into all these verses. Let's hurry down. In verse 27, also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. When the angel came to Mary, and we referred to this last time, when the angel came to Mary in Luke chapter 1, this is what he said to her. Luke chapter 1. And verse 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, here's the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. David was he filled it in a type, but the ultimate is the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of David, David's greatest son. He will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And now verse 27, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son, that one who was born and cradled in a manger down there at Bethlehem, Jesus, the one who hung in shame and pain on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. He will reign as the King of the Jews and as the real and right seed of David forever and ever, and his name is higher than the kings of the earth. So Revelation tells us that the nations and the kings will come in to the Jerusalem of that day and bow at his feet and bring their tribute to him as he reigns over the whole world. Now let's go to verse 38. Now time is just about up. These things sound so beautiful, so wonderful, and here's the psalmist rejoicing in it. But it didn't turn out that way. It will turn out that way. Thank God, God's covenant will never be broken. God says, I cannot lie. God says, if I said it and I won't bring it to pass, yes, I'll do it. But what's happened? Man has sinned, Israel sinned, everything went wrong. We talked about the Babylonian captivity, but all much worse was it when in A.D. 70 Jerusalem fell and the Jews were scattered throughout the world, and there they have been for nearly 2,000 years. And so we read in verse 38, why hast thou cast us off and abhorred? Why hast thou been wroth with thine anointed? Thou hast made void thy covenant and profaned his crown, the covenant of thy servant, profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruins. All that passed by the way spoiled him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. You can imagine the Jews saying this, can't you? Down through the years. Think of Jerusalem trodden down of the Gentiles, destroyed. And there it was nearly 2,000 years. Verse 44, thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. Where's the throne of David today? There's never been a king. Since they were taken away into captivity, they've never had a king. Yes, they did. He came in and they crowned him with thorns and nailed him to a tree and cast him out, their real king. And they never had a king until he comes back by and by to reign. But what a sad story. How long, O Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? And so this psalmist laments the wickedness and the seeming defeat and failure and the Jewish people scattered throughout the world. Thank God he's still got his eye upon the Jew. And you watch the nation that helps the Jew. That's the nation that's going to thrive. And you watch the nation that doesn't help the Jew, and that's the nation that's going down. That's why Great Britain's gone where she is. Because Great Britain did not help the Jews to get back to Palestine when Great Britain had the mandate for Palestine. She stopped them going back. And God's judgment fell upon that nation. Mark it today. They're discussing it in the United Nations this week. They'll be discussing it. You'll see which nation will back Israel and which nation won't. And mark God's hand on those nations. God can't fail. His word has gone out. But thank God he's going to bring Israel back. And the Lord Jesus is coming back to reign. His feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and he'll set up his kingdom and reign. And the kingdom of David, the covenant made with David, will take place when the Lord Jesus comes back to reign. So he says in verse 52, blessed be the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. He looks back. He goes back in the last verse to the beginning of the psalm and praises God that ultimately all these wonderful things that God promised for Israel and for his beloved son, they're going to take place despite of the failure and the wickedness of men. Israel's gone back, but what are they? They don't believe God. There's a godly remnant. There's a godly remnant. But generally they don't believe in these covenants. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in religion at all. There is a remnant there. And by in the tribulation, not by and by, but very soon in the great tribulation, there will be a godly remnant that will suffer and suffer and suffer. But they will cling to the Lord and they remember these promises and say, how long, Lord, how long? Are the walls going to be cast down forever? How long, Lord, before you set up your throne and reign? And they'll be waiting for him when his feet touch the Mount of Olives. And they will go into the kingdom in that wonderful day. Thank God. God's word will be fulfilled. He's God. He cannot lie. And what he said will take place. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank thee for thy word. No, Lord, we thank thee for thyself, the God of heaven, the eternal God, he who says, and it's true and cannot be changed. We thank thee for thy promises to Adam, for thy promises to Noah, for thy covenant with Abraham, for the covenant with Moses, for the covenant made in the land, the Palestinian covenant. We thank thee for the covenant with David. We thank thee for the new covenant. By and by, when thou wilt write thy law upon men's hearts, and they won't have any longer to say, know the Lord, for all shall know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. And the knowledge of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea, so will the world know of the knowledge of God. We wait for that day, Lord. Thy people are out and rejected today. Thy saints are rejected today. Thy church is not wanted in the world today. But we thank thee, thou art God. And we trust thee, Lord Jesus, and believe thy word. We remember thy words. If I go, I will come again, and thy words cannot fail. So we're waiting day by day to hear the shout and to be caught up to meet in the clouds and to see these final scenes in this world's history take place. But we'll be viewing them from high up in the heavens above and see thy judgments in the earth and thy kingdom brought to pass. We wait, Lord Jesus, for that day when thy feet shall touch the mount and thou wilt reign supreme. And wonder of wonders, thy throne will be set up in the very city where they nailed thee to a cross and cast thee out and rejected thee. We thank thee, Lord, thou hast revealed thyself to us. We know thee as our Savior. We adore and praise thee. And we wait for that moment when we'll see thee face to face and worship and praise thee for all eternity. Till then, Lord, keep us faithful. Give us not to get discouraged. We ask, Lord, that we might go forward believing thy word that thou hast said it and it must be. Give us strength day by day and help in our failing physical bodies and all the things around us, that we might go on until that wonderful day when we shall see thee face to face. We commit to thee those of our number that are sick. We pray for the Strattons tonight. Pray for dear Mrs. Livingston, not well enough to come out tonight. We pray for Ivy Chase. We pray for George Holler and his dear wife. And many others we commend to thee and ask thou be near them and bless them. Dismissest thou with thy blessing. We ask it in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. Sorry, I'm just a minute or two old.